Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, a strong and powerful Jonathan Tuttle. Jonathan, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Jonathan is the fund manager at Midwest Park Capital. He's an investor, a speaker, an author, and a maverick. I'm excited to have you on. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. Yeah, it's a unique industry I'm in, the manufacturer of mobile home parks. It's kind of gotten a lot of exposure in the last couple of years, a lot of media. But when you told your friends 10, 15 years ago about it, they were like, what do you want to do? Mobile home parks? What? I mean, it was literally like, yeah, they were just kind of looking at you like, what? I think he's crazy. But now everyone's kind of like, wow, that makes so much sense now. You were talking about now, how can I get involved? So we have a mobile home park fund. We also have an academy for people learning how to flip. So the everyday American, we have that. Because the fund is mostly for accredited investors, and the academy is for the everyday American to make extra income during the COVID and recession while providing affordable housing for people. I just really kind of stumbled upon the niche. My dad got in the space. I was fortunate enough. My dad got in the space about 15, 16 years ago. And he was kind of like my main first mentor, obviously. He did custom development, did about 85 custom homes, had 3 real estate offices. And when he stumbled upon mobile home parks, and he's like, this is literally the best thing I've ever come across. That's when I kind of got my eyes into it. And so the last 10 years, did mostly like brokeraging. And then in the last few years, I was like, well, what's the next step? Where can I bring more value? How can I help more people? And what's a better long-term play? And obviously buying the parks, through the fund and, with investors was the best avenue for me.
Nice. Fascinating, right? So your dad had been really successful up to that point, says this is literally the best thing he's ever come across. What? Why?
Yeah, great question. No, yeah, because the good thing is when you listen to older people, they've been through the ups and downs of different economies and recessions. They have good stories.
Yeah.
And when you research different investors, you read like Sam Zell, who's really big in our space. He's considered the greatest real estate investor of all time. Just to give you a little context, he's the largest owner of office buildings, largest owner of apartment buildings, and the largest owner of mobile home parks. Wow. And in the last 5 years, he sold off half his office buildings and half his apartments, and he's buying more mobile home parks. And so he's a billionaire, obviously, but seeing some of the smart money, Warren Buffett's got two separate companies that are billion plus. You start seeing the smart money, the Wall Street money. And what my dad discovered, this is about the same time Warren Buffett got into space, about 2003. He just noticed that the affordable housing need, you can't develop new parks. It's really hard to, usually like an RV conversion. So it's not technically, it's already kind of the same premise, but they have about 60 million Americans that need affordable housing in America and about 12 million mobile homes. So you have this huge need and people just really need affordable housing and you don't have enough to supply them with. And so when you have that supply and demand and you provide this housing that's usually one third the price of a house in the same town or one half the price of a apartment, but you have your own lot, you have your own, just more piece of, home ownership. And the best part about it too, if you're looking from the tenant side, to give an example, in Illinois, we have really ridiculously high taxes.
Right.
If you were to live across the street and say like $150,000 house, the taxes are probably going to be like four, maybe $5,000 a year to get the same school, fire, police. You live in the mobile home, you're paying $10 a month. So that's like your equity right there.
Wow.
So it's pretty fascinating industry. Like when you see like it does really solve the affordable housing while providing a safe and comfortable place if it's maintained right. So kind of it hits on all stones.
Yeah, that certainly does make sense. Now, I think that I heard you say that they can't create new mobile home parks. Why is that?
That's a big question. It's the government zoning. They don't really like it. They just, the stigma, maybe. It's almost impossible. There's some data saying there's about 10, officially 10 new parks developed in the last like 20 years.
Wow.
There's some other small ones that are kind of on the radar that might get approval, but the whole process to get approved, the zoning, and for the cities, usually it's less taxes. That's another reason they don't like it. It's not the highest and best use, because you could have an apartment building or like a luxury resort. Something like, if you're, especially if you're in like Florida, I know Arizona has probably some prime locations, but like Florida, for example, you'll have like a mobile home park and it's like right on, like it's got waterfront.
Yeah.
So the city's like, well, we'd rather have a luxury hotel here or a luxury, you know, senior retirement assisted living center here, because we get way more tax money for it. So that's part of the stipulation. But that's the big thing we've always wondered, is like, it's great for the investors, like we own it, because you have that moat, you have that, which Warren Buffett calls a moat. It's something you can't, it's like really hard to penetrate, protect your money. But for the, to solve the really problem, we need to have more parks. And if you do develop a new park, the other thing about it is you're like developing new subdivisions. So you have to think about like, well, we have to build the infrastructure. After getting all this approval, you have to build the, you know, all the infrastructure. You have to bring in, you know, sewage, water, all that, those systems, all the streets. Then you have to bring it home by home, and a new home costs $80,000. So it's not even affordable. I mean, depending on where you live, but the average cost of a new mobile home nowadays is $80,000. So the real affordable is an older, you know, 70s to 90s park where the houses are $10,000, $15,000, $25,000 compared to that, you know, $80,000 brand new home. So, but yeah, this, it's just mainly the government's not allowing it.
It's so super interesting, right? I feel like you hit on all the really key reasons why people aren't or have not been racing towards it. All that being said, you know, it's like this confluence of events with mobile work, and, you know, people have sort of an affinity for tiny homes, which is essentially a mobile home, sort of, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. And just really everything going on, it seems like this might be a good opportunity to be doing that. But so does it make sense from a developer standpoint to do it? Does it pencil out if in fact I could just start a brand new mobile home park or not?
I mean, it depends on your, everyone has their own goals with their capital. It's like I alluded to, it's about a 4 or 5 year before you'd see your return investment, but it'd be more like a development play. Cause you literally have to bring in the infrastructure. You have to make sure the market,
right,
dynamics will actually allow it to be a profitable. We like, and most investors, like we see all the Wall Street and private equity, like Blackstone just bought, $550 million in the last 2 weeks in mobile home parks. You know, they're the biggest private equity group in the world. We're seeing a lot of those guys, but they're looking for parks that are already cash flowing from day one. So you buy the cash, it's like buying an operating business. You know the 30-year history, you know all the expenses and where you can make improvements. Usually it's marketing and management efficiencies. And then also just making sure the expenses are, you know, keeping track of expenses. That's the quickest way. I mean, obviously raising rents ethically, that's the way you can increase, you know, the cash flow and the equity of the property. However, if you develop a new park, you have to really factor in these variables, like how fast can we infill? And infill means bringing new units and also getting, you know, does the market bear allow enough people that could buy these in cash? Or do you have to have like a rent to own program, which there is programs like Warren Buffett's companies has the financing program called, 21st mortgage cash program, which allows, basically they finance the new homes, but you have to make sure the market allows, will actually make it, you know, a fast enough way to get your return back, because you probably have to be like 75% occupied before you actually become profitable. So it's a different play. You're not buying a cash flow business. You're buying something like over 4 or 5 years. Yes, you could buy and develop it, but you're not going to make much money in the front end of it. So it's a longer play, and it's really, really hard to get the approval.
Yeah.
Like I alluded to. So.
Interesting. All right. So that is from the development standpoint. And if for the accredited investors who are listening, y'all have the fund that is actually going and purchasing existing parks. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
For the academy, for ordinary investors, how do they access this world?
Yeah, great question. It's it's basically an online course. You know, there's all the rage nowadays, online course. We want to have a solution for, because I've had some friends who aren't accredited, and obviously we have to abide by the SEC rules, which, you know, accredits 200 plus a year ongoing. But the everyday American, this could be a great avenue to do something that's not complicated, because like, the way you have to look at it, everyone sees all these TV shows, like you mentioned, like the tiny houses. Mm-hmm. You have that dynamic, and then you also have the other dynamic where all the other shows are like how to flip a house. But at the same time, if everyone in the same town is flipping houses, and there's only, you know, and everyone's flip going over this, doing the same exact techniques, the, you know, it's, you're basically getting into a red ocean. And then with the mobile home side of it, you could be the only one usually within, you know, 2 or 3, 4 parks in your area flipping these. And it's just really a blue ocean where you don't have much competition. You're still providing affordable housing. That's the beauty about it too, is like I mentioned before, if some of these older houses is like, say it's a 70, like late HUD, early 80s house, if you put a little TLC, just do some like really minor cosmetic, that's what most people just want anyway. They're not looking for, you know, luxury, you know, brand new, like the laminate flooring or anything like crazy. Just do some nice, just, you know, think in the market you're in. If you're in a small town and you have just nice new carpet, you know, just some basic stuff from Menards, Home Depot, you know, some new fixtures, new, clean it up, paint the walls, it's going to do more than enough for people to be happy. And it's updated enough to make somebody be happy to live there, but you're not spending crazy amount of money. You're spending a couple grand, $2,000-$4,000 to fully renovate a mobile home, and you can make a $5,000-$10,000 profit on a small mobile home. But down the other side of it, you're keeping these older mobile homes in the park, because if these get taken down or torn or just gotten rid of, they're bringing in the $80,000 mobile home. So that person that could afford the $15,000 mobile home, $20,000 mobile home, they're not going to be able to afford the $80,000 mobile home.
For sure.
So it really provides that solution while making the investors a nice little cash flow. And it's not competitive. It's not crazy, like tearing down walls and all of a sudden there's like hidden problems behind it, because you can't do much. There's the foundation of the basic of mobile home is a box. And if you can't even touch the outside windows. You can't make the windows bigger because that will actually, the foundation, that will actually crumble in. So you can't like, oh, I want to put in new doors here on the outside and, you know, bigger windows. You can't do that. So it's a really, it's minuscule stuff that you could do to actually make a lot of value and make somebody happy while making a nice profit. So it's a really easy way to get involved with real estate if you're just starting out. And at the same time, what the big picture is, you're learning the game. And a lot of the people, most of the space is about 92% are mom and pop owned. It's not institutional. So you're going to build a relationship with some of these baby boomers that their kids probably don't want the parks. They want to, you know, they just want to take the money and run, move to Miami. But you could be, you know, if you flip 3 or 4 or 5 units in a small park and you build a relationship with the owner of the lake, you'll say, hey, you've put your boots in the ground. You've really helped, you know, maintain my park for me. Do you want to, you know, I'll sell or finance this and you can have this park, you know, and just pay me back, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, and you can go get it refinanced at a traditional bank. And that's a way for somebody to start off, learn the business, make some income, but then they end up getting a multi-million-dollar asset from the seller for free. So we show them those different ways to how to get involved with space and really build their, you know, short and long-term positioning and income through mobile homes and mobile home parks.
So even though there's so much institutional money coming into the space, the vast majority are still privately held?
Yes. And this is the crazy thing about it. It's a great point you bring up. So comparatively to self-storage, which is kind of a similar asset, alternative asset, we've been around 20 years longer, and they've been institutional has bought up 3 times more in the self-storage space. That's the crazy stat around it. Where right now, we think it's about a 5-year run. So like you mentioned, it's getting really consolidated. So like right now, it is getting crazy consolidated. So we'll, if you talk to me 5 years from now, it's probably going to be like 60%. it's trending that much towards institutional, because obviously, Apollo Group's really big into it. Sovereign Wealth Funds, they're buying billions and billions of dollars in mobile home parks. The main thing, the advantage to the everyday investor, the small investor, the normal credit investor is, like I just mentioned or alluded to, is a one-off mom and pop, because they're not going to go after a $1 or $2 or $3 million mobile home park or a $5 million mobile home park. They, you know, because they have so much access to capital, the cost, you know, the way they get money, they want to buy a portfolio of, you know, 20 parks at a time, or they want to buy, you know, a 5-star community that's on the ocean in Florida, California. So your play is to build, like what our fund is, to build, you know, a small portfolio where it actually becomes appealing to institutional, but your avenue and your avocation's avenue for an everyday investor, it just go for the small mom and pops where it still makes the scale of economics, and also where it makes sense for management. We like 75 to 250 units because you're not buying a job. If you get like those 30 to 50 units, it's more hands-on, and it might be perfect for somebody that lives 20 minutes away. They have their day job and they want to have like another park that brings in 100, 200,000, 300,000 passive, you know, and they just check on it once a week. Could be the perfect thing for the retirement. The retirement vehicle plus the tax benefits are the best of any real estate.
Nice. So on the whole, or just like you just I'll just ask the question. Are the actual mobile home units independently owned by the resident, or do sometimes the actual park own the units?
Yeah, so ideally you want it where, like, our thesis is we want to have it where the tenant owns the unit. You don't, even for Fannie and Freddie right now, they're really, just give you an idea, a little context. Fannie and Freddie 10 years ago didn't really invest in, or they didn't really loan in mobile home parks. In the last couple of years, they've really made a big push towards affordable housing. And right now they have to allocate about 35, I think, or 37% to good causes or to affordable housing, basically. And obviously the biggest recipient of that is mobile home parks. And one of the stipulations they have is you can only, they want it basically like a land lease where it's maybe 20, 25 max are park owned. And they want you to see if you have a plan to get rid of those park owned homes, get them off your books. So it's, you really want to be where you're basically renting the land. And you don't have to sit there and be doing that. There's always going to be parks that's going to be have a percentage of, like, mostly, you know, park-owned homes. That's not what we go for. Easier management is to get them off your books, basically. And so the Fannie and Freddie, in order to get the financing, which right now, to give you a context too, is the first time they've actually given out better rates to manufactured mobile home parks than multifamily. So we're seeing rates like 2.75. And like Fannie's given a 2.75 Fannie Freddie comparatively to multifamily, which is like right above it, which is kind of crazy. And just to kind of also mention, I mentioned that I kind of left off with the taxes. The one unique attribute for mobile home parks is it's most commercial real estates depreciates at 39 years. Multifamily is 27.5. Mobile home parks are 15 years. And what that means is it's the land improvements. It's also all the little concrete pads that the mobile homes are. So it's like 65 to 70% of the entire park you purchase could be written off, and also with cost segregation analysis. And then the homes, if you do own the homes, you could write them off like multifamily at 27.5 years. So you have these really advantageous tax advantages too, which is pretty cool, pretty unique. But yeah, ideally you want to have the, where if you own the park, you want to have it where the tenant owns the homes.
Got it. Nice. Well, Jonathan, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Sure. I think the biggest thing I've learned in like entrepreneurship for the last 10 years and really the last 5 years is really pay for mentors. Get around mentors, because a lot of times they're not going to do it for free. If they're really successful, you start getting around people to make it 8, 9 figures. They can't get the non-refundable minutes. Like, they might want to help you, but they can't give you step-by-step. So paying for mentors or bringing value to them, and somehow paying for something you give them that makes them money, will really get you ahead. Like, it will move you ahead so much farther if you invest in somebody that's already been there and done that, because you're not going to have some of the same mistakes. You can skip, you know, bypass that, and you're going to have that speed to execution, which you need to thrive in today's business environment.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and how can people get involved?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to be here for the fund. If you're looking into like a passive or learn more about mobile home investing, go to MidwestParkCapital.com. That's our fund's website. And then if you're just looking to learn, you know, have some questions about how to flip mobile homes and maybe learn how to do that as a business, the MobileHomeWealthAcademy.com. Those two websites. Or Jonathan Tuttle Official on Facebook if you want to connect socially.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jonathan your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to MidwestParkCapital.com. Check out the mobilehomewealthacademy.com. That's the site, Jonathan?
Yes, that is it.
And you can find him on social media as well. I will list all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.